Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evening, folks. Saturday night, the 2022 NFL Draft is in the books. And your Detroit Lions drafted a lot of defensive players.
Gee, imagine that. And Brad Holmes said it wasn't necessarily by design, but of course it partly was, with their defense being so awful. Six of the eight players.
It was convenient.
Defensively. Right, and maybe their draft board did fall that way. The biggest prize might have been the offensive guy, Jameson Williams, the receiver, but it had to happen, and I'm not saying there's a certain amount of defensive players out of eight picks you have to have, but six out of eight feels kind of right for this defense, doesn't it?
Right. So look, the big problems going into this draft defensively were they needed edge rushing help.
Got that.
They got a lot of
that. A lot of that.
Right. So Aiden Hutchinson right off the bat. You come back with Pascal in round
the
two,
Kentucky
three.
Guy, people love Pascal, his disruption.
Yeah, and the nice thing about him is he plays inside and outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not a great comparison, but Jason Jones, who was here before, kind of similar in style and usage to that. And then today they go out and they get a kid named James Houston. Honestly, wasn't on my radar, but that's how it gets these deep rounds. But a kid that started at Florida, played off-ball linebacker there, goes to Jackson State, and just goes bananas. He's not very big. He's like 6'1", 6'2", 240 pounds, but he's got longer arms, kind of creates an illusion of a bigger player. And then 16 and a half sacks. So you know he's got some juice to maybe be used situationally and develop a big personality, too. I'm telling you right now,
oh yeah,
that kid's going to be a hard-knocks kid.
You know he will. And that's where the sixth-round pick, and that's where you find those raw guys from Jackson State University. You find those guys. He clearly has physical skills. He started off at Florida.
Yeah.
And that's what a GM, a good GM, which you hope Lions fans, Brad Holmes, is. And there are signs through two drafts that he is. But that's where you find him in the sixth round. And that is one of the more intriguing picks they made.
My favorite pick, and the reason it's my favorite pick, is because I kind of was highlighting this guy throughout the offseason. I thought he was a player to watch in this third day was the linebacker from Oklahoma State, Malcolm Rodriguez.
Oh, yes.
Again, just like we just talked about with Houston, undersized, kind of a theme with some of these later round picks, but huge athleticism. As I joke with Brad Holmes, like, look, they have historically the greatest undersized athlete in Aaron Donald on his resume. So, look, I think there's something to trusting athleticism over size late in the draft. So, yeah, 5'11", 230-pound linebacker. You know, that will present some problems at some point, but 140 or so tackles, 16 behind the line of scrimmage, just really instinctual player. If nothing else, he's just going to be an absolute superstar stud on special teams, and I think he can be more than that.
Yeah, and the other theme throughout this draft, and I think we tallied it up going through all the little notes, only one player that they drafted was not a captain on his college. I know that's not the most important thing, and there's tons of captains.
That.
Okay, whatever. But there's that, and the other thing is versatility. And like you said, he's shorter of stature. The guy they took in the seventh round, what, Chase Lucas, the cornerback, he's like 50 years old.
He's
25!
Somebody looked up, I think he might be the second oldest cornerback on the roster, which is, it's hilarious.
I know, he came from Arizona State and was out. But the one that caught my, I mean, outside of obviously Aiden Hutchinson and Jameson Williams, I like that Illinois safety in the third round. Kirby Joseph, a ball hawker. What do you have, five interceptions
is
last
ball
year?
Hawker, is that a ball, term?
Ball hawker's a term,
okay.
Football term, and another
we'll
safety,
allow it.
Position of need.
Indeed.
And, you know, they did, it seemed to me, even though you say, oh, you take the best player available, they went need quite a bit, which is fine when it matches the talent available. He's my, can a third-round guy be an under-the-radar guy? Does that count?
I think so. So
okay.
Look at
he's mine.
Tracy Walker was a third round.
Mm-hmm.
Will Harris, who hasn't worked out to the same degree, obviously, but also third round.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly where, but I believe the Rams have picked multiple safeties in that third, fourth round ballpark. In fact, I saw one comp to Kirby.
Kirby Taylor Joseph.
Rapp, Rams selection right. a few mm-hmm. years ago. So, look, he's kind of like, I got to keep looking up these names, but he's kind of like James Houston, right? Didn't play a whole lot the first right. season. Not only that, didn't play safety. He was a wide receiver, which so he makes this late commitment junior year to become a safety, gets the starting job as a senior, and Holmes admitted, like, there's a lot of development there.
But
the
that
Lions
speaks
don't need
to
him this year,
right? But that speaks to multiple skill sets too. Yeah. You can put guys that play have or play both ways. The one that it's I'm not going to call it a head scratcher. But the one that will be the lightning rod for why did they do that was the fifth round tight end.
No, it's not. Nobody's
James Mitchell out of
no
Virginia
lightning
Tech.
Lightning rods in the fifth round.
No, I don't. Not lightning rod, but the one people will say, what
you're
was
not
that about?
97-1 right now. Like,
yes, I am.
Tone it down.
248-539-9797. No, I'm not saying a bad picker. I'm just saying that's one. The tight end. Did you think they were going to tight end in this draft?
I thought it was a very distinct possibility.
Okay.
Look, T.J. Hockenson is obviously a very good player,
mm-hmm.
but this team uses a lot of two tight end formations. There's probably about 600 snaps to go to tight ends that aren't named T.J. Hockenson that are out there. They got Brock Wright on the roster. He showed some,
mm-hmm.
he showed a little bit as an undrafted rookie last year. They brought in Garrett Griffin or Griffin Garrett. It's really late. I think it was the first one. A veteran that was with Dan Campbell in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Those two guys are in the mix too, but I thought there was room to upgrade that second tight end.
Okay, I'm not calling it controversial. I'm just saying there's one because everything else
a lightning rod is by definition controversial.
Well, then that was the wrong phrase, but there's only two offensive players that they took in the receiver and a tight end. And I'm not one of the ones that thought they should take a running back or even another receiver at all. So are you surprised no offensive lineman?
No. I went into this draft, and I especially after the first round, I thought the last hole remaining was a second tight end. But I was looking at it more as a blocking perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Look at rookie tight ends. I don't even care if you're a great blocker in college. Almost always rookie tight ends struggle with blocking. It's just a different level of animal blocking, NFL caliber, veteran edge rushers. But it sounds like this guy is a very aggressive run blocker. He's played half of his time off tackle. But he offers some juice as a receiver. He averaged something like 16.7 yards per carry. So, yeah, but you do want that dual threat skill set. And if he develops into even a competent blocker to complement Hockenson, like, I look at it and I say, at least for 2022, like, the offense is kind of complete.
You're right. It's around – and, okay, let's wrap it up with that point.
Okay.
Offense is kind of complete.
Sure. I know where you're
going. And they didn't draft a quarterback.
You're giving away
quarterback.
Your column.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
They didn't draft a quarterback. So is there a little element of this saying, we do think our offense is kind of set.
Mm-hmm.
And we told Jared Goff, we're giving him a year. We didn't draft a quarterback. He
yep.
is our guy for a year. Even if everybody said no, he is. Is this kind of make it or break it now for Jared Goff?
I think that's a fair thing to say. I really do. And so I look at last year, and when he got to the regular season and the toys they gave him were all broken already. Like,
shattered.
It was just going to be a very tough evaluation. Like, you were going to that season with Amon-Ra St. Brown as a fourth-round rookie who you just didn't know what you were going to get out of him. Tyrell Williams was broke after half a game, and Perriman was out. And, like, it just you knew it was going to be a tough sledding for them. I watched that offense at training camp last year and said, this is going to be a bottom five offense in the NFL. And they were for much of the season. Now look at St. Brown developed into something pretty good. Josh Reynolds came in midseason. Things changed. But, you know, they needed more talent. They went out and they got DJ Chark. You know, if he could stay healthy, proven Pro Bowl caliber receiver. Jameson Williams is really exciting. I mean, just to get...
He's so fast.
When have you seen that?
You don't understand fast until you see Jameson Williams. When he's healthy.
Look, I don't... GPS is a weird thing, right? GPS tracking. But there was a report from Alabama. He measured over 23 miles per hour twice. So I went and I looked. How many guys have run over 23 miles an hour with the NFL's tracking? Two in the last 5 years.
Is that right?
Tyreek Hill.
Oh.
and Mostert, the running back for San Francisco. So, you know, I look at Williams in the Tyreek Hill mold, and I'm not saying, like, that's an all-pro. I don't want to make that direct comparison, but, like, in terms of what he could offer the offense, if he could be 75-80%, if he could be the poor man's Tyreek Hill in this offense, like, that unlocks all kinds of stuff, because every time Hill touches the ball, it could go 80, 90 yards.
We don't know when the Lions are going to get him, but we think...
Probably October-ish.
I mean, well, yeah, I guess people say that, but some of those reports are much more optimistic, but...
His own...
Yeah, his own report, yeah, but we'll see. And 23 miles per hour, I mean, Justin goes 23 in the left lane. 12 miles per hour.
You need to work on your material.
No, that's actually pretty good for late this Saturday night, right?
This is off the rails.
23 miles per hour left lane.
Anything else
we need to talk about? I love the defensive emphasis. I love the Jamison Williams, the boldness to move up to them. Yep. I love that they settled on, they didn't have to settle. They clearly got the guy they wanted, Aiden Hutchinson. I don't know if Walker was there, if they would have, but they clearly weren't going to take
this was the pick.
Thibodeau. So, yeah, you know what? Holmes kept saying conviction and buy-in. Like, when the conviction was there to make a move, it was the... And I feel like they did make picks with conviction. Like,
well, certainly Williams.
Right, but I mean, sometimes you listen to GMs and you're like, oh, I kind of did that because this assistant coach desperately this. I do feel like they identified the guys and they went after and aggressively and moved up, too, a couple of times, or moved up and down, or whatever they did today. How many times did they trade?
I don't know. Tell me you're talking about Eric Ebron without telling me you're talking about Eric Ebron.
Oh, no. I didn't say that at all.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to say Eric Ebron on draft day, am I?
All right. What time's your 2023 mock draft post?
That'll be first thing Monday.
Great.
Monday morning.
Check out Wojo's 2023 mock draft.
Yeah.
And
Jay Rogers, too.
I'm not doing that. Stick with the Detroit News for all your Lions coverage.